In 2019, Jen Taylor and I recorded an ensemble piece on the legend of Sleepy Hollow for our show Vanished. Among the many benefits of recording that show was the opportunity to open up my podcasting network, and because of that, I've made some really remarkable friends. One of them is a woman who immediately stood out to me, not just because she's got one of the best voices in the business, but because of the many shows she was spearheading at the time, a list that's only become longer and longer the longer I've known her. Before anything else, she's a master juggler, still running multiple shows. If that's not enough, she's founded the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival, a budding annual convention that's become larger and larger with every year in production. What I love about her the most, though, is her vulnerability as a podcaster, a quality in this business that's so rare, people are shocked when they realize it's even possible. She's a podcaster, promoter, storyteller, and influencer, and one of the loudest voices in the room when it comes to ethical podcasting coverage. And she wears the personal scars to prove it. Most importantly, she's a good soul and one of my dearest friends in this business. A couple episodes back, I told you that all of these conversations serve as personal therapy sessions for me. Well, tonight, welcome to a working session with one of the very best people in this entire business. This is Lainey Hobbs. We're going to try. Mrs. Lainey Hobbs.
You know, if we got to do a part two, we'll do it.
Yes. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for coming on the show. True Crime Cases with Lainey. You have like so many shows.
I know.
We're going to talk about all of them. And then we're going to touch on some True Crime Podcast Festival tonight as well.
Yes.
All right. You wear so many hats. let's start talking about them. Since this is the second time you've been on the show, we'll link our first conversation in the notes. But for those who missed the first go round, tell listeners what you do. Give them the 10,000 foot view and then we'll get into all of it.
Sure. So very high level, I am a content creator at heart. So I create various forms of content across different media platforms. Mm. I primarily do podcasting and voice acting, and I have created now two festivals. So I am the co-founder of the True Crime Podcast Festival and now the founder of the Beyond the Veil Festival. Mm. It's not a podcast festival. It's just a festival.
Okay.
And I think that's it. Wife, mom, full-time worker. I don't know. All that fun stuff, you know?
That's a lot. All right. Well, we're going to get into as much as we can. I want to get into the cancellation, mm-hmm. Crimes of Passion.
Oh, yeah.
This was a big deal because of how it was handled.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks to a much larger problem that we're having in podcasting right now. First of all, the show was awesome.
Thank you.
So just so you know, we'll get to the narration in a bit. Let's go through it though. Tell me, being picked up for a show like this, tell me how that starts, how you got involved. How does that all happen for you to start with?
Well, it was really kind of kismet, right? I started listening to podcast shows. Mm. I mean, I'm a consumer of true crime just in and of itself. Mm. And I started listening to podcast shows and I fell in love with one of the hosts, Vanessa Richardson. She hosts the Serial Killers podcast. And I was like, oh my God, she's like, her voice is just amazing. It's everything that like, it hits the right buttons in my ears. And it was just perfect. Mm. I like said to myself one day, I was like, I need to figure out how to become a host for this show. Like, I need to figure out how I can work with Vanessa. That was during a time where everybody was doing feed drops. Mm. Parcast started doing them because, you know, Wondery was doing them. They were successful. So Parcast started doing that. And I met some of the people, including the founder, Max Cutler. And I had made this mention of like, oh my gosh, like one day I hope to host a show for you. Like whatever needs to happen, like tell me and I can, I'll figure it out. And that's basically how it happened is like I did ad drops and feed drops for them. And I was very accommodating is what I would say. Like I recognize a potential, right? Like I recognize the opportunity. And so I will always pursue an opportunity over any type of like financial gain, right? In the immediacy, mm-hmm. because I'm like, it could be something bigger. It could be something more.
Yeah.
So don't try and like strong arm yourself and be like, my ad space costs this much money. So it's like, oh, you want a free space or what? Not that they did this, but it was just like, I was trying to to present myself in a way that was like, look at how accommodating I am. Like, look
Right.
at how awesome I am to work with.
Yeah.
And I think that worked in my favor because I was so willing and it was something they wanted to try. And I was a low risk, right? I didn't cost a ton at the time. So I get it. It was, I think, a great choice,
Yeah, of
obviously.
course.
And so, yeah, we just kind of started. They brought me on board purely to host, right? Not to research. I had no interest in doing that. I was like, I truly want to like branch into full voice acting, full narration. And I had no interest in doing the research side because I already had true crime cases. And I also, it's a very different audience. I'm not competing with myself or anything like that. So I was just like, Leah, let's see what happens. It only brings exposure to my show. So I'm
Yeah.
always happy.
And your plate is full already, surely.
Yeah, I was very happy to do it. And it kind of just started that way, very organically, kind of through, like I said, fate.
Yeah. I've read the joint statement from the Gimlin Parcast Union on Twitter.
All right.
I wanted to hear from you.
Yeah.
What happened there, and how are you feeling looking back in retrospect on that?
Let's see. So I don't really know like everything that happened because I wasn't really a part of Spotify.
Yeah.
I was a contractor, so I wasn't involved in any of that stuff. My producers and writers and all that stuff, they were the ones who were primarily, involved in stuff. So I didn't really have any indication of things. I was concerned when the move was to make them exclusive to Spotify before they really had like a ground in podcasting. And that was concerning to me, but I wasn't really attached in the way of like I would be for my own show, going
Right.
like, you're taking all of this, opportunity away from me. It doesn't make any sense. And I really kind of treated it like a business. Like it has nothing to do with me. I had zero indication whatsoever that there was a consideration of tabling the show, ending the show, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't get any type of awareness of that. They had started canceling shows, but those shows really had run their course. Like they didn't have anything else to add into storylines or anything like that. So it made sense. And Crimes of Passion was doing really well. It was a highly rated show. So
Yeah.
I never anticipated anything like that would happen. I was actually on vacation for my anniversary, I think, or my birthday. I can't remember. I think it was in October. We were in Lake Tahoe. I got a text message from somebody that said, I'm so sorry. And I was like, for what? And then I saw the Hollywood Reporter and I was following the Parcast Union on Twitter. And so, of course, I started seeing that blow up.
Yeah.
And then it said, like, Crimes of Passion is canceled. And I was like, that's weird. Like, canceled
Yeah,
how?
right.
And I had no indication whatsoever. So then I made the post on Instagram because I was really upset. I was taken aback that, like, nobody from the leadership contacted me to say, like, oh, hey, Lainey, we didn't want you to find out like this. We were planning on having this conversation. And what really happened, I think, is that like it was leaked. I don't think it was supposed to happen the way it did, but whoever it was ripped the Band-Aid off. Thankfully, I have a really great relationship with Max and another person that was there. So they called me directly and we talked through it. And I was like, I really, like, I know it says it's canceled, but I really want to say goodbye to Crimes of Passion. I really want to say goodbye to this audience
Yeah.
because that's not fair to them.
Right.
Like, forget me. To me, it's like a business transaction. And I work in HR, so I get it, But I was like, I really want to say bye to them. And they let me do that. So I got to finish the last few episodes that we had. And it was really emotional for me because I loved working with everyone.
Yeah.
Still have not listened to the last episode. Like, I can't do it because I know I cry. Like, I choke up in it, I think.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to revisit that like emotional point of where I was
Yeah.
because it was such a great opportunity. Like, it really did change my life. Financially, it changed my life professionally. So, without any kind of safety net there, you were like, things like this happen so quickly. And I am such a safety conscious person. Like, that's why I work in corporate America and don't do anything strictly entrepreneurial because I can't take the risk. I
Yeah.
can't take the like heartache and the like heart palpitations that come along with
Yeah.
being in like entrepreneurial type of roles, like being a contractor. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
It was interesting to me, but then it kind of turned into like, okay, I'm going to make sure this never happens to me again. Like,
Yeah.
I'm going to always have something on my plate. And I think that's what I've done is that like I've filled my plate to the brim and continue to add because I'm like, yeah, anything, any one of these things could fall off,
Yeah.
but at least I'm still like creatively fulfilled.
Yeah, that's an excellent segue. That's a great point because I think what's very special about how you were able to pivot is that realization that in this industry, there's very, very little sure footing. And in
Oh,
most cases,
yeah.
it's very, very unpredictable.
Yes.
If you're making your living on this or trying to build a brand, which so many of us are, that sudden like smack of realization that all of this can just break right down, it can just break right down.
Right.
And you have to start looking at like multiple streams of income, different projects. You have to step into as much as you can handle. It's a harsh realization when you realize that this is 24/7
Yeah.
if you want to do this. And it's one of those things that I think hits people like a ton of bricks, especially new people that get into this kind of thing. It's
Yes.
hustling for yourself is not easy.
No, it isn't. It's I'm used to working a lot, right? Like when I was in high school and college, I always worked two jobs minimum and stuff. So, but that was working, you know, like I worked in a restaurant or I worked for corporate America. I never worked for myself for the benefit of myself. I was always like, oh, I have a certain lifestyle I want to live and I'm going to work however hard I need to work to live it. And I was totally fine with that. It was just a different experience. It's not the same thing as like getting fired from like a corporate job because you always have like, oh, I have transferable skills. I can find a job anywhere. Doing what we do, especially in the area that, you know, I do it, particularly mostly in true crime, it is difficult to stand out. It is difficult to build who you are, you know, as an individual and have people care about that and go like, why should I care about you as a creator? Like you're just doling out content. It's very humbling is what I would say, you know, but I've been very fortunate that the listeners of Crimes of Passion have transferred over to true crime cases. Not all of them, God, I wish. Those who really like enjoyed my way of storytelling and have enjoyed my voice have consistently reached out to me and just like offered nice words of encouragement or just been like, oh my God, I miss Crimes of Passion so much. And I love that I still get to listen to your shows. I was like, this is the first time I didn't know you even had another show because I never talked about True Crime Cases with Lainey ever and stuff. So yeah, it was an interesting ride. I miss it all the time. Just because I love the people that I worked with the most. Like, I looked forward to that every week. It was just so much fun. And I've gotten other additional opportunities with other podcasts, thanks to some of the producers who kind of mentioned my name in rooms that I'm not in, which is very kind.
Well, and the decision for a podcaster, I guess I take it back a step, to even step into the mainstream on a big network with a show that has a crew and a platform,
Yeah.
it's like moving from a pond to the ocean. And in a lot of ways, there's a lot of restriction that can be hard for someone that used to, you know, is used to being in complete control of their content, you know, creating that you the user-generated content, which we'll get to in a minute. If you're like in that position, moving from the indie scene to mainstream,
Yeah.
what do you have to do to ensure that you're not compromising yourself and watering down your message for the sake of just having a mainstream show, which I can imagine is the attraction?
Yeah, I was again very fortunate that I had say in the scripts I did. I mean, Sarah Turney is also one of who was a former host for podcast as well. We all had a say in our scripts. We could actively change them. They wanted it to be natural for us, so nothing was ever forced unless it was like actually like research based. If it was something like, oh, 95% of people, I'd be like, it doesn't feel natural to say 95% of people. They're like, well, that's the research, so you have to say that. But the way you phrase things, a lot of it, I mean, was in the moment. So the scripts look very different than what the actual final product was. And I was very thankful for that. I never had to worry about compromising like my own ethics or integrity to tell a story. There were some instances where it would make me cringe because I'd be like, oh God, like we're intimating thoughts, you know, for dead people, or we're intimating thoughts for perpetrators who have not ever spoken out publicly. I get the appeal to that, but I don't necessarily see it as a me thing. I distance myself from that to say that I'm simply just the host. Like in voice acting, if I would have gotten like a political ad, if it paid well enough, sure, why not? Right? Like I'll talk about whatever side all day.
Yeah, you're just doing a job.
Yeah, I wouldn't select or open myself up to something that morally myself, I'm like, oh no, if I'm just like saying like, oh, go and vote for this person, I don't have a dog in the fight there. But if you're like, hey, stop doing XYZ because it's evil and terrible for you, I'm gonna be like, that's then a reflection of me. Somebody will look into who did that or whatever. So it's, yeah, it's just like a balancing act, I think.
Well, let's talk about what you do. So the user generated content. Can just tell everybody like what that
Yes.
is. Can you explain that?
Yes. So we call it UGC, you know,
Yes.
around these streets. And what it is, it's basically like you create ads for social media that brand social media is not even your own. So I always use the example, you know, you're scrolling on TikTok or you're scrolling on Instagram and you see like somebody going like, oh, TikTok made me buy it. This thing is so amazing and
Oh,
awesome.
yes.
That's a UGC ad, right? That person's not just like randomly making a video on their channel going like, oh, and the brand just happened to get a hold of it. You know, and they're like, oh yeah, look at this. So yes, brands pay creators to create these concepts for them that look authentic and feel authentic, and that encourages people to buy or use whatever product they're selling. I am very, again, fortunate that the majority of things that I've promoted, I love already. Like I've worked with Renzo's Vitamins for kids, and it literally changed Tilly's life because she was getting low in iron, and they're meltable vitamins for kids. And it improved her iron count when she went for her like pediatrician visit. And I was like, oh my God, I love this product. Like I wouldn't have known or found out about it if I hadn't like gotten them as a UGC client. And I love them. I work with them all the time. So my reads are authentic in that case. But you know, I've done stuff for like a travel, what was it? Some random person, like that's the thing with these things. Like anybody can really hire you, right? And they can pay you for stuff. So like some random person came up with like a travel toothbrush mouthwash kit kind of thing. And it was, there was nothing unique or special about it. Like it was like you got it from AliExpress and then was like, oh, look at this. And I made a UGC thing on it. And I was like, I don't know who's going to buy this from you, but like, thank you for buying my services for it. The other thing is like people are using these products. So like the creators are using them. So they're not inauthentic in the way that they've never used them before, but they are inauthentic in the way that you don't have 30 days to use this product. Typically, the turnaround time is rather quick. It's rather like a week to 2 weeks maximum. I've never seen anybody have a product for a month and be like, okay, because the brands want it, you know, a quick turnaround. They want it believable. Brands are not paying you to say you don't like their product. They're paying you to say, you know, that you like it and you enjoy it and you want to recommend it to your friends. It's a fun thing.
But there's also a lot of ethics to that too. I mean, I'm sure you probably get pitched items or have been
Oh my
pitched
God,
items,
yes.
product services, things that you're just like, hell no.
Yeah, like supplements and stuff like that, where they're like, oh, you're guaranteed to lose. I mean, those happen all the time. You're going to lose 20 pounds in 20 days. And I'm like, are you dying? Like, you should not be losing 20 pounds in 20 days. So, yeah, like as a creator, you have the ultimate authority over yourself to choose products that you are okay promoting. But products like that, I can't really get behind. Also, because not the poster child for 20 pounds in 20 days, unless I'm like 600 pound life. And then
There you go.
and then I came to this.
There you
But
go.
yeah, it's very interesting. And it runs the gamut on the type of products. I mean, like digital products are
Yeah,
huge.
sure.
And quick turnaround time. I mean, like everybody's doing an app these days. So it's really incredible. And it has a very low barrier to entry. You could be a UGC creator. Anybody listening could be one. All you need is an iPhone, really, or any type of smartphone. And that's it.
Interesting. People are going to be Googling that shit
Yeah.
after this, I'm sure. All right, let's get to the festival. July 12th through the 14th in Denver. I know we're excited to be there.
I hope you make it.
I hope so too. This is year four for you.
Yes, it's incredibly stressful,
I
is
bet.
what I will
I
say.
bet.
You know, I care a lot about everybody's experience and their belief that it's worth their time and worth their money. That always means something to me because as indie creators, you don't have a lot of that sometimes. You know, like some people are really well off and they can support their shows and travel all over the place. And then there are other people who are like saving up to go, right? So it's really important to me, A, that the festival is extremely cost effective from a ticketing perspective, and that I select areas and locations that are easy to get to, either by driving or taking, you know, an airplane somewhere. I try to focus on that. And then beyond that, the actual experience of making sure that I stay true to the emphasis that I have on ethics and advocacy in content creation overall. To me, that's the easy part because the creators who want to come, right? And I get the opportunity to then introduce the festival to bigger creators, right? Who could help kind of bring more awareness to the festival, which only I think helps the families, helps the survivors that are coming, and also helps smaller shows have these networking opportunities.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like, imagine standing next to Gen Y, who has like 50 million downloads over the course of their year, and easily could do a million per episode
if
if
they felt like it.
I'm sure they do. I have no idea. Yeah, like
yeah,
I'm
they're
sure
really
they
good.
could.
They're awesome.
And they're very kind,
Yeah.
generous individuals.
No egos at all.
Yeah, they offer up their platform for smaller creators. And I think being able to attend TCPF is such a unique experience for a creator because it removes the barrier that's there that people put in their heads of podcasters. I think they realize like, oh, you're literally just a person. Like you are just me behind a microphone, essentially. And some people obviously take off, have large careers, have large platforms. But I think if you can establish true friendships and not just really see everybody kind of as a step up or kind of a networking opportunity, it's just only going to, like, I think, enhance your experience in this community and help you kind of broaden your reach naturally. You know, I'm very fortunate that I know incredible creators who have way larger platforms than I do.
Yeah.
They, again, like, will mention my show if they're talking about something related to TCPF or talking about an event or whatever. And I'm very fortunate for that because that doesn't come cheap when you think about it. Like, people are paying hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to get on their show for like the mere mention of something for 60 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
I'm always very cognizant of that. And that's really important to me to create that for creators to kind of help them build a community because podcasting is very lonely. You know, if you don't have a team, like not many people do.
Yeah.
If you don't have a team of people and you're doing this by yourself, it can often feel isolating and it can feel like it's not worth it because your download numbers aren't where you think they should be or whatever. And I think having this community and meeting creators at the same place you are is so nice and so refreshing to go like, oh, see, this person's going through it too.
Yeah.
Like they totally get it. And then you can, you know, commiserate together about it.
Yeah.
But I also see the advantage, you know, for families and survivors. Like it's very daunting to reach out to podcasts and podcasters going like, hey, can you talk about my family member to social media sites that they may not ever check their messages, you know, or their emails that go to spam or whatever. Like you get face-to-face time with them. And I think that's really, really impactful.
Absolutely. You're lowering that barrier. It's funny. I remember like I think it was the first year we were there and we actually had people come up to us, you know, talking to us about a show we did, you know, people that were like fans of like the Booth series we did for Vanished. Or
yeah.
And it was really weird. I remember talking to Jen about it thinking it's like, man, it's so weird because you don't see, they're just numbers. Everything is just numbers.
Yeah.
It's all binary. And then you get out into these cons and you get to meet people and they come up to you and they're like, oh, I'm such a fan of what you do.
Yeah.
And that is incredibly humbling and it's a serotonin shot.
Yes.
And it's an amazing environment to be in that you've created, which I think
it's
is amazing.
Thank you.
Let's shout out some of the folks that will be there this year. You've got a hell of a lineup.
Yeah.
Like, let's rattle them off.
Yeah. Very excited. So our keynote speaker for this year is Sarah Turney. She came to the very first TCPF just as a listener and she was thinking about starting her show. And I think it's so amazing seeing her trajectory from being this really isolated person alone trying to fight for awareness for her sister's case to now being like this freaking powerhouse.
The meteoric rise of her. It's unlike anything I've ever seen.
It's incredible. And being outspoken about like expectations of creators and outspoken of like what should be. I love that. And so it was a no-brainer and I'm so very thankful that she can come. I know that it was a lot more difficult for her to come because of the pending trial.
Yeah.
And so now that she's able to come, very happy about that. And then Julie Murray made her way into podcasting, which was great. She was our keynote last year and she took off on media pressure and stuff like that. And again, very excited. One of my personal favorites, because I, like I said, am a consumer of true crime. John Lorden is coming and I am
very cool.
Thrilled beyond belief because I have watched him since forever. Like I feel like over a decade. He's incredible.
Yeah.
And then of course you're coming, I'm coming,
we're coming,
Josh is coming. We're all gonna be there. But I'm excited we got new creators who've never been to TCPF.
Yeah.
So we have Heather Ashley from Big Mad True Crime.
Okay, very cool.
And I am so excited to meet her because I really love that people are sharing and taking off with the ethical true crime piece.
Yeah,
like
sure.
I
of course
love that.
Yeah.
We have many a Canadians coming. So Canadian True Crime, Christy Lee's coming. Robin, who's like a staple at TCPF these days. And then his brother's coming, who he does a paranormal show, which I think is incredible. And I'm like, okay, I'm interested to meet another warder. That's going to be great.
Very cool.
Yeah, the usual suspects. Otherwise, I'm excited that we have newer, smaller shows coming who are looking to like build their community. I think it's beautiful. You know, I love having the big creators, but I am so excited when we get a new baby podcast coming in and I'm like, oh, your world is just going to be rocked in the best way. You know, that's what I get excited about.
Well, that's the core.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. So yeah, I can imagine that's really great. Gosh, every time I have someone on the show who I feel like their schedule would just be insane, I have to ask about how you
Yeah.
structure your time between all these projects. I
Oh, God.
mean, can it be difficult to sort of like compartmentalize everything? So,
Oh.
because my concern is I always want to make sure that I'm giving 100% of me and what I'm working on. That can get watered down awfully quick. Like, I don't know, how do you stay in focus when you have so many projects on your plate?
I prioritize what's the most important to me.
Okay.
So after hours, so after 5 p.m., nothing is more important than me being home with my kid and focusing and being a mom, right? Because I have every other hour before that to do what I need to do. I'm thankful that I work remotely for the most part. So I'm able to step away very quickly to film a UGC video or something like, or do a quick TikTok live because now I'm a TikTok shop affiliate or something. Like I come up with all these crazy things to do. I don't know why. But yeah, it takes no time for those quick little things. I'm very thankful because UGC takes zero effort when you think about it. It takes me a max of 20 minutes to film and edit and then upload. That's it. So it doesn't take as much time as you think, unless you have a ton of products, which a few weeks ago, that was me. And I was getting boxes every day. I wish I was joking, like over 5 boxes a day of products. And I was like, oh my God, I got to film all this stuff. So, and it was right before I was going on that trip to Asheville. And so, literally, the night before, I'm still like, the baby's asleep. I'm still filming. I'm like, oh yeah, look at this great unboxing video or
But
something. And I was like, dry, like going crazy.
24/7.
Yes, the podcast is really easy because I have a great team behind me. So I hired a production assistant who keeps my life in check on the podcast side. So they will talk with everybody, the researcher and the audio engineer who does it for both shows and just coordinate that. And then they email me and go, hey, these episodes are ready to record, and checks my schedule to say like how much time you have available throughout the day to be able to like hop in the booth real quick and get this uploaded. And so having that structure really helps me because if it was up to me, I'd be like, who knows when I'll get in there. Being able to have that constant communication, I get like a weekly roundup of what I'm doing. And so they manage the shows, which is really wonderful, and I manage everything else. And sometimes things fall by the wayside because I think it's natural, or I get overwhelmed, or I'll get stressed. And even at my 9 to 5, you know, I'll be super busy. Like it just is what it is. And from a creative standpoint, everything can't feel like a job to me. It has to still be fun. So I have to enjoy what I'm doing. And even though it's stressful and causes me much strife in my like anxiousness, I love every minute of it because it helps me feel like a whole person. I have to feel like I'm doing something creative all the time and always thinking of something creative all the time because I'm fearful that I won't feel like a whole person if I don't. That I'll just be Lainey the mom, or I'll just be Lainey the wife, and I won't be Lainey the person who loves to film and loves to edit videos and loves to be on social media and promoting things or creating a community. You know, I don't ever just want to be Lainey. I want to be more.
Well, let me give you some flowers as we wrap tonight. What you've done, not only like in promotion of ethics in the field of podcasting, but for indie podcasting in general, is you've demonstrated by example by pushing for shows that maybe don't have the audience, the platform, maybe even direction sometimes. I mean, we've all been guilty as charged. We've all been there. But you put your money where your mouth is, and that's the part of the leap that most people won't make. And I know what it's like to be the face of something you believe in and just have to take it on the chin so many times when nobody knows that it's happening. You know, you're such a positive force for indie podcasting. We need you, so don't stop, okay?
Thank you. That's so nice. Don't say nice things to me. I appreciate that.
People will see
Yeah.
just by kind of listening to what you do.
You know, it's so funny you say that because last year or the year before that, I can't remember, I was called a scammer as it came up to TCPF.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so funny because I was like, God, I'm the worst scammer alive. Because like I should be rolling in the dough
Yeah,
if
right.
that's the case. But you know, I take that with me because initially it pissed me off like beyond belief
Yeah.
because I was like, oh, like you want to see scammer? Okay. And I got really like really angry about it because I was like, wow, you don't know me as a person and nobody in this community who knows me would ever think that about me. Of like, I don't give off Joanne the scammer
Yeah.
vibes. I think what it boiled down to was just like their feeling that, well, I think anyways, like I think their feeling of thinking they were going to take off after TCPF. And it's the same thing people feel, I think, initially very naively about going to CrimeCon, is that they're going to like just get this audience of hundreds of thousands of people that are coming and their
Yeah.
podcast is going to be number one on the Apple podcast charts. And unfortunately for these things, it's not a huge ROI in terms of like audience numbers. It really is just the exposure to doing these kind of public meet and greets. That's really what it is. And so I was like, you know, it was a great opportunity to accept feedback that I don't think really was meant for me. I think it was like projecting,
Yeah.
but it's something I carry with me to this day of going like, I'm going to continue to prove you wrong. Like, I'm going to continue to prove you wrong in the way that there are going to be creators who probably are associated with them in some capacity that are going to have a positive experience here. And
Yeah.
I hope that they tell you that. And I hope they continue to say positive things so that you feel like the dummy in this situation. I think that's
Yeah.
the ultimate thing because I don't need to say or do anything. I live by my own example, right? And I
Right.
take everything to heart when it comes to TCPF, so much so that Charlie from Crimelines is the one that manages the survey afterwards. Because I'm like, I can't deal with seeing any
Yeah.
of the like feedback or anything. I was like, I need you to like filter it for me and tell me the things I need to like work on and fix next year. But I don't want to see people's like candid thoughts because I care so much about
Yeah, it's your
this
baby.
festival. Yeah. And
Yeah.
it's very personal to me. So I'm like,
Yeah.
in order to not break me and then also make me never want to do this again, I need you to help me out here. And so I'm very fortunate that I have people that take care and consideration with me. And
Yes.
that's very difficult for me to ask for, to prioritize my own health in that capacity, like emotional health, because
Sure.
a part of me wants to be like, okay, just show me what everybody's saying. And then I know what the outcome will be. And that'll be that I'd end TCPF and would never do it again, you know? And I don't think the
Yeah.
risk is worth that. I'm like, there's too many people, there's too many families and people who need their voice heard that if I can do something, then I should be doing it. That's always been my
Absolutely.
philosophy. So all that to say, I appreciate you saying the very kind things.
Well, no, I mean, it's well deserved. You're playing the long game.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about.
Wait, we didn't even cheers.
I know we didn't cheers here. Well, here, cheers
Cheers.
as we get to the stuff. All right. It's become a tradition on the show. You did this once before. This season, we end each show with our homage to the Colbert questionnaire.
Okay.
So this is a continuation. This is part two
Okay.
of a handful of quick questions that will tell your listeners more about you. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Lainey, what is the best sandwich?
Ooh, oh my God, my friends are gonna make so fun of me. Okay. I'm a sucker. If there's a club sandwich on the menu, I will eat it. So I would say Classic Club is my favorite.
Yeah, I think my wife would agree. That's
Yeah.
a strong one, always. All
Yes.
right, what's the one thing you own that you really should throw out?
My boy band memorabilia from when I grew
Ooh.
up. It's not like in pristine condition whatsoever. I just have extreme bouts of nostalgia that I can't release from my childhood.
This isn't in the quiz, but were
Yeah.
you Team NSYNC or Team Backstreet Boys or who?
Backstreet
Yeah,
Boys,
Backstreet
Nick
Boys.
Carter.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Who's facing some challenging times, and I want people to just like give him a
Yes.
minute. Okay.
Yes. We'll see how that turns out. All right.
Yes.
All right. All right. What is the scariest animal?
Oh, jeez. Okay. Wow, they are going to know a lot about me. The animal that I'm most fearful of is a hippopotamus.
That's a good one. Those things are horrific.
Listen, if you can bite literally, like squish my head,
Yes.
I have no
Yes.
business being around you.
I'm
So,
with you.
yes.
And they're fast and there's yeah, I'm
Yeah.
100% with you on that
Yeah.
one.
It's just
Yeah,
like, no,
that's a
thank
good
you.
pick.
I'm not, no. So, yes, a hippopotamus.
All right, the big war. Choose a side, apples or oranges.
Apples, green apples.
I think it's tough, but yeah, with peanut butter. My wife likes those
Yes.
apples peanut butter. It's like nothing much better than
No,
that.
it's so good.
All right. Have you ever asked someone for their autograph?
Yes.
Bonus if you want to tell a story.
It was so funny. I had to go. I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan. My aunt, who passed away, hardcore, extreme, like Dallas Cowboys fan, like had all the cheerleaders and all this stuff like around her house, Coke bottles, like every like hardcore people. And we went to a hotel in Irving one year. I don't remember why. I was like 7 or 8, and she made me walk up to a Dallas Cowboy to ask him to sign something for me. I don't know who it was, but I was like, I don't know why I'm asking this extremely large man for an autograph. But she was like, that's a Dallas Cowboy, go ask him. I was like, can I have your autograph? And I had no clue, and then he left. But most recently, the autographs I asked for were at the Magic Time Machine. So I got Barbie's autograph and Gwen Stacy, whoever,
Gwen
Ghost
Stacy.
Spider.
Yeah, ghost.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's
Yes.
very a woman after my own
So,
heart. Okay.
yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, this is an interesting one. What do you think happens when we die?
Ooh, I love this question because my philosophy has changed on this as I've gotten older. I like to believe that when loved ones of ours pass away, that they take a part of our like soul with them wherever they go. So there's pieces of me already on the other side, so that whenever I do pass, I have had a complete experience on the other side that will make sense as I blend my soul, bring it all back together.
That's beautiful.
And I would have had a wonderful life on that side that I get to like experience, you know, with the people that I miss and that I love. And so that brings me comfort knowing like I'm not really missing out, or I don't really know what's happening over there, is that like it all becomes complete afterwards. And I like that better than going like, God, they're waiting for me up there. They're watching over me. It's like, no, they're living a whole life with me already. And I like that a lot.
Wow, that's a hell of an answer. All right. Well, from that deep question to a much more superficial one,
Yes.
give me your favorite action movie.
Oh, that's so hard. Oh, man.
It's a big umbrella.
I know. And I grew up on action movies like Steven Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme, like everything. I love old school action.
See, I knew you'd be a good one for this.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to say my favorite action movie is probably Ip Man.
Okay, that's a good pick.
I love Ip Man. But if I had to pick, it would be probably any Steven Seagal movie. Like, I love Steven Seagal movies. So,
All the original stuff, Above the Law was great. That opening, like
yes.
6, 7 minutes of Above the Law is, man, it's peak cinema for me. I love it. It's so cheesy, but I love
I used to always do the rooster thing where it's like, Gallo de Mato Boto Sangre.
it.
And I used to say that all the time when I was little. My mom was like, please
That's
don't
awesome.
stop saying that.
That's
And
awesome.
I'd be like, I said it all the time. So, yes, any Steven Seagal movie. But here recently, I've been on like this Bruce Lee kick of watching his old films, and he trained under Ip Man. So I watched the Ip Man movies and I just like it. So.
Good picks, solid picks. Okay, this is a two-parter. Give me your least favorite smell, and of course, give me your favorite smell.
Okay, least favorite smell, chocolate.
Wow, no shit, really?
Yeah, I hate the
Interesting.
smell of chocolate.
Okay.
It's very overwhelming. It's kind of like the musk perfumes and colognes. It's like,
Wow.
oh, it's too rich, I think.
Okay.
It assaults your entire body. And then my favorite smell, coffee.
That's a good one, though.
Fresh roasted coffee. I love when I go into a drive-up window and it just opens and you just smell all of like the roasted beans, and it's nothing makes me happier. Like if you wanted just to make me the happiest person alive, like you just bring me coffee and that's the most thoughtful gift you could probably ever give me. It's like, I brought you some coffee, and I feel like, oh my God, thank you so much.
That's my act of service for Vanessa. I will make her
Yeah.
like these big coffees and these like she has the caramel kick and all that stuff. So I'll post pictures of them on social media sometimes and I make them and
I
everything. And
love that. Look at you.
I'm not a big coffee guy, but I do love the smell of like fresh ground coffee. It's one of
Yes.
the strongest smells, I think.
Yes. It's so nice. It's like, it just makes me happy.
It does. Well, let's talk about something else that makes everyone happy. What is your favorite curse word? Drop it on us.
Jeez. Probably, like, can I say it?
You can say it.
Okay. I'd probably say fuck is my favorite.
Always at the head of the pack, right?
Yeah, I think so. And then also like in Spanish, I'd say like puto is my favorite one.
Oh, it's got some stank on it, don't it, when you say it in Spanish?
Yeah, I'd be like, you freaking puto or something. Like I always Spanglish it up. I'd say fuck is probably my primary word of choice. But I come up with a bunch of different ones because I have a 3-year-old who.
Well, and when you could do it in Spanish, that becomes real fun too. Because then
Even
you can
better.
throw it in.
Yes,
Yeah.
even
My
better.
wife will cuss me out in Spanish sometime. And it's like, it's so hot. It's like, I love it. It's like, you're not going to upset me.
You're like, are you trying to turn me on? Because it's working.
Keep going. Yeah. I love it. I love it. All
Yes, I
right.
love that.
All right. What is the most used app on your phone? If you had to guess.
Probably TikTok.
I would imagine with what you do, TikTok's probably got to be up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
TikTok and then CapCut is my second most used because I
Oh
edit a
yeah, because
lot.
you edit the yeah, I see that on the on TikTok a lot.
Yes, I'm on TikTok all over.
All right, this is a tough one. You only get one song to listen to for the rest of your life. What is the name of that song?
I would probably do a Fallout Boy song,
Okay.
and it definitely would come from Infinity on High. And I'm gonna say, hold on.
Or researching. This is important.
Yeah, it's like I need to see it. With Fall Out Boy songs, it's literally like a whole paragraph for the song
It
title.
is, yeah.
So the one that I love the most from Infinity on High is I'm like a lawyer with the way I'm always trying to get you off. Oh, it's such a sweet song, and it just gives me like all of the right feels in terms of just like checking in on my emotions to be like, am I still human? Do I still feel things? Because I worry about that sometimes of going like, I'm so like focused on something that I
Yeah.
don't have time for like emotion sometimes. So I listen to that song to rage,
Yeah.
to chill out, to like feel lovey and happy and stuff like that. So it's kind of like a very all-encompassing
All-purpose song.
song for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love Patrick Stump's
Yeah.
voice. Like, oh, yeah, it's good.
All right. We're going to link that in the show notes so people can.
Or Blue Bayou by Linda Ronstadt. That's my other one where I
Boy, what a stark contrast.
I
I
love
love that.
her.
Okay. Very cool. All right. So if heaven exists,
Yes.
what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You had it right. Yeah, that's what I'd say. Or he'd say. Or they'd say. Who
Who
knows?
knows? Who knows?
Yeah. You had it right all along. Something like that.
There you go. We'll find out. I love these final two questions. You can go surface level with this, or you can go really deep, whatever you like to do. Tell me something you used to value that you no longer value today.
I would say I used to value the quantity of friends that I had, and now I no longer do.
That's a good one.
I value the consistency of the friends and the quality of the friends. And I always thought that the more friends you have, the happier you are
Sure.
because you're going to be social and all this stuff. It has a lot to do with like childhood stuff, I'm assuming. Trauma, we talked about that last time.
Oh, we've all been there.
Yeah, like I realized as I got older that it is so much more impactful to my life to have people around that genuinely care about me as
Yeah.
a person in the same way that I care about
Right.
my friends. Because I'm extremely loyal, I'm extremely thoughtful. I go out of my way to make sure people feel loved, right? And to go like, hey, you may never like have somebody in your life that does that. Like
Yeah.
I'm very thoughtful in the way that like I'll remember a friend said they wanted this thing and I'll just like randomly send it to them, you know, not because I want them to come back to me and be like, oh my God, you got that. You thank you so much. It's just like it's not very often in your life that you find somebody that is thoughtful and listening to you.
Right.
And I'm very fortunate that I have that in like my own life with some of my friends and with my husband and stuff, or that I get to be that person because
Yeah.
it's so nice to feel that people are appreciative of that without it being a, I got you this, so now thank me for it.
Yeah.
You know, I love doing stuff for others in that way. I like making people feel like they've been heard and that they feel special in some capacity. So
Yeah.
I like to do things like that. I'm a weird person.
No, that's amazing. All right. Final question of the night. Describe the rest of your life in 5 words. I'm not looking for a sentence. I'm looking for just descriptive words.
Okay.
Make it a little easier.
Richer?
Yeah, amen to that. Shit.
Richer for sure. Oh, safe. Give the state of our world.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Happy, fulfilling,
Yeah.
and loving.
All right. On that note, good picks. Let's plug the festival.
Yes.
Plug your shows, please. All that jazz. Let's do that before we get out of here tonight.
Okay, so the festival is on all social media platforms, truecrimepodcastfestival.com or TCPF official, depending on the platform that you're on. Tickets are still on sale, so you're welcome to still join us. I highly recommend using your favorite creator's code. So
Yes.
Chris's code is vanished.
Yes.
for 15% off of your order. I highly recommend getting the VIP tickets. A, you get like a nice VIP mixer, and then you get to invite your favorite creator to the VIP mixer to get even more personalized, like one-on-one time. And especially with the creators we got, like, I don't know when you're ever going to have an opportunity like that again.
Yeah.
The Beyond the Veil Festival that I'm starting
Yes.
is truly just based off of the paranormal. So this is the last year we're doing paranormal with TCPF. And now I'm launching a purely paranormal festival for creators, intuitives, anybody who's interested in anything beyond the veil or even a skeptic of it.
Okay.
I'm running a poll right now at Beyond the Veil Fest on Instagram to see where we want to go for 2025, whether it's New Orleans or Salem. Both are very likely wonderful possibilities.
That's going to be a tough choice.
I know it's already like 50-50. It's driving me crazy
Wow.
because I'm like, oh, I want to go both places.
I heard New Orleans and I was like, nothing's going to beat that. And then I heard Salem and
Yes.
I was like,
See?
oh,
So we'll see.
yeah.
But yes, follow Beyond the Veil Fest. You can go to beyondtheveilfest.com and look up the information there. It's very early infancy stages, but it is definitely happening in September of 2025. And then you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, True Crime Cases with Lainey, on podcast platforms, and I have a bunch of other shows. It's Haunted What Now is my paranormal show, and
Yeah.
I just do a bunch of stuff. So if
Yeah.
you find me anywhere, I'm sure my links will be here in your show notes. So if
Yes,
you find me
yes.
there, you can follow me there.
Yes, we will link the shit out of everything we talked about tonight.
Just do my link tree. It's all over. It has
There
everything there.
you go. Lainey, thank you so much. I appreciate you as always.
I love you. Thank you.
Love you.
Another conversation behind us. Thanks for hanging out with me and my friends. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please visit us on social media as we post each new conversation as they air, news, show information, and more. Go to facebook.com/ me and my friends pod. On Twitter, you can search the handle me my friends pod. And on Instagram, search the handle me and my friends pod. If you enjoyed the conversation tonight, please do me a favor and head to Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher and rate us and leave us a review. It really does help get the word out. Me and My Friends is produced by Vanessa Williamson and edited by me, Chris Williamson. The show's music is created and performed by producer Riddiman. The opinions on Me and My Friends are those of the individual guests and may not reflect those of Chris Eben Films Incorporated. Chris Eben Films Incorporated is not affiliated with the films or clips referred to herein. Any audio clips used in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purposes of education and entertainment, and no infringement is ever intended. Me and My Friends is an exclusive trademark of Chris Eben Films Incorporated and may not be used without the express written consent of Chris Eben Films Incorporated. All rights reserved. Me and My Friends is a Chris Eben Films production. All rights reserved.